Pitt stared at the wine inside the glass as he spoke. Kelly tells me you and Dr. Egan developed a super oil.
Yes, you could call it that.
What would its advantages be if used in internal combustion engines? Theoretically, you could run an automobile engine 2 million miles or more before the internal workings required any repair, replied Thomas matter-of-factly. Our formula, which Elmore and I jokingly called Slick 66, will have enormous consequences for every mechanical power source that depends on oil for lubrication. How expensive is it to refine and produce? Would you believe 3 cents a gallon more than normal motor oil? I don't imagine the oil companies will be particularly happy about your discovery. They could very well lose billions of dollars, even trillions, over 20 years, unless, of course, they buy your formula and market it themselves. Thomas shook his head slowly.
Never happen, he said decisively. Elmore never intended to make a dime. He was going to give the formula to the world free of charge, no strings attached.
The formula was half yours. Did you also agree to contribute it to the common good? Thomas uttered a quiet laugh.
I'm 65 years old, Mr. Pitt. I have diabetes, acute arthritis, an iron overload disease called hemochromatosis, and cancer of both the pancreas and liver. I'll be lucky to walk the earth 5 years from now. What would I do with $1 billion?
I see you have heavy security, said Pitt.
Yes, acknowledged Thomas. Elmore and I have had our lives threatened many times. I was wounded in the leg after a thief attempted to break into the laboratory.
Someone tried to steal your formula?
Not just someone, but an entire industrial conglomerate.
Do you know who?
The same corporation that threw Elmore and me out the door after 25 years of dedicated work.
You were both fired? At the time, Dad and Josh were still working to perfect the oil formula, replied Kelly. The company's directors prematurely began making plans to produce Super Slick 66 and sell it with the goal of gaining enormous profits.
Who are they?
The Cerberus Corporation.
Pitt felt as if he had been hit over the head with a mallet.
The Cerberus Corporation, he echoed.
You're familiar with it? Asked Thomas.
There is evidence that links them with the burning of the Emerald Dolphin. Thomas did not appear shocked.
I would not put it past them, he said evenly. Curtis Merlin Zale, the man who owns and controls the company, will stop at nothing to protect his interests, even if it means burning a cruise ship along with every man, woman, and child on board.
How strange the government hasn't investigated their criminal operations, Pitt said.
Cerberus has its claws into every agency in the state and federal government. Any politician who toes the line in behalf of Cerberus will find himself very wealthy when he retires from politics.
Thomas paused to pour himself another glass of wine.
And don't kid yourself into thinking someone might turn informer if they think they've been slighted or suddenly feel a desire to go honest.
The informer's family might be threatened by bodily harm, and that'd be backed up by a son or daughter suffering a broken arm or leg in what would look like an accident. Whom do they hire to do their dirty work?
A covert organization called the Vipers. I know this because Elmore was secretly told by an old friend in the Vipers, who warned him that he and I were on the murder list.
What happened to the old friend?
He disappeared, Thomas answered offhandedly, as if it was a foregone conclusion.
How is it you and Dr. Egan survived for so long after leaving the company?
The man who directs corporate operations planned to steal the formula for the oil and the designs for Elmore's magneto-hydrodynamic engine designs at his convenience.
But why wait until Dr. Egan's engines were installed in the Emerald Dolphin?
So they could destroy the ship and blame the cause on the engines, replied Thomas. If they ruined the engine's reputation for reliability, it'd discourage buyers and they could snatch up the patents for a song.
But the fire did not start in the engine room.
I was not aware of that, answered Thomas in bewilderment. If what you say is correct, my only guess is that the operation to burn the ship somehow miscarried. I only hope and pray they don't attempt the same criminal act on the Golden Marlin.
The new luxury submarine that's designed like an underwater cruise ship?
Yes. It begins its maiden voyage 2 days from now. The engines that Elmore and I developed were mounted in her, too.
Pitt and Giardino, along with Kelly and Rudy Gunn, went personally to Fort Lauderdale to see the CEO of the Blue Seas Cruise Line, owner of the Golden Marlin. They tried to persuade him to postpone the sailing of the luxury submarine, but he refused even to consider it.
"I'm sorry," said Warren Lash. "The Golden Marlin will sail tomorrow as scheduled."
"Since we cannot persuade you otherwise," said Pitt, "can we make a case for increased security and a crew of marine inspectors to maintain a constant check of all equipment and systems on board during the voyage?"
"Yes, most certainly," Lash said, affably.